Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10. The enemy's wriggle. Now, I was going to give the title, The Enemy's Awake, but the truth is the enemies were never asleep. So the enemies are disturbed, they're on the move here. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. Now, if those listening to me, if you listening to me, if you're a mature believer, have been a believer any length of time, I'm sure you will know by experience the sort of things I'm going to say in this discourse. But perhaps there might be a young believer listening to me. You've just come to Christ. The sun is shining, isn't it? Everything looks well. Well, I have a word of warning for you. It's not long down the road of the believer's road, before he runs into trouble of some kind. Let me remind you of what's going on here. Let me teach you what's going on here. Let's bring it up here. Nehemiah has prayed. He has sought God, and God has opened the door for him. And here he's now, able to go back, and he's gone back. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates. He's got the letters in his hand. Everything's working well. He's going to start this job. It's all going well. And then we read this. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, Canaanites, Samaritans, when this Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. The enemies start to move. You see, when the believer is first converted, it's not long before he meets opposition. It's always the case. You remember when Israel came out of Egypt, the Passover, Exodus 12 and on and so on. When you only get to Exodus 17, you haven't gone very far. You haven't even got Sinai yet. What do we read? Then came Amalek. Oh yeah, Amalek came. Now, they didn't come with a handshake and a cup of tea. They came to attack Israel. It's always the same. We've met it in the book of Ezra when we were going through Ezra. In chapter 4 of Ezra, the enemies of the Jews woke up. They wriggled. They moved. And they came. They tried to insinuate themselves among the Jews. They tried to infiltrate them. They tried to oppose them. They rejected the Jews and so on. And you'll get it here in Nehemiah. Now, it's just started here. So when Sanballat and Tobiah heard, then they started to move. But you wait to get to chapter 4, and it's not long, and they're in action. It's always the way. It's the same for the believer. Paul writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, God has opened for me a wonderful door, and there are many adversaries. A wonderful door of opportunity. But many adversaries. Christ can say to the church in Revelation 3, verse 8, I've set before you an open door. No man can shut it. They're trying, though. Oh, they're trying, all right. But you can always look up. You might be surrounded by your enemies, but you can always look up. You see, this is the way of it. You meet adversaries, Hebrews 10:27, Philippians 1:28, 1 Corinthians 16:9, and so on and so on. Oh yes, believers, the church has many adversaries. Expect it. Do not be surprised. Do not misread this. Oh, I'm a new believer and it's getting difficult. I've had this opposition, I've had this rejection. Maybe at home, maybe at the workplace, maybe at school, wherever it might be. You meet opposition. Expect it. Don't be surprised. Don't misread it. Don't say, oh, God can't be with me. Don't believe the prosperity gospel. It's a load of rubbish. It's dangerous rubbish. Diabolical nonsense. It doesn't always go smoothly. It doesn't always go the way you want. You see, Nehemiah wants Zion to recover, and Satan doesn't want it. Hell's against it. Don't you realize it's not just men? Satan's agents are against this. They hate the thought. The enemies hate the thought of Israel prospering, Judah prospering, and now in the days of the New Covenant, the Ecclesia prospering, the gospel prospering. Why is it the militant atheists are so strong? What are they getting so uptight about? They don't want the gospel to have success. Let me read this hymn by Joseph Hart. He speaks of this. The souls that would to Jesus breast must fix this firm and sure, that tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. The souls that would to Jesus press must fix this firm and sure. You must settle it in your mind that tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. From this there can be none exempt. 'Tis God's own wise decree. Satan, the weakest saint, will tempt, nor is the strongest free. The world opposes from without, an unbelief within. We fear, we faint, we grieve, we doubt, and feel the load of sin. Glad frames too often lift us up, and then how proud we grow, till sad desertion makes us droop, and down we sink as low. 10,000 baits the foe prepares to catch the wandering feet. 10,000 baits the foe prepares to catch the wandering heart, and seldom do we see the snares before we feel the smart. But let not all this terrify. Pursue the narrow path. Look to the Lord with steadfast eye, and fight with hell by faith. Though we are feeble, Christ is strong. His promises are true. We shall be conquerors all ere long, and more than conquerors, too. Yes, you got it right, Mr. Hart. It's the same today. The world hates the Ecclesia and would destroy it and rob it of its power, infiltrate it, pull it down, destroy it, make it copy the world or whatever. The world hates the gospel, adulterate it, change it. The world hates the believer. It will fawn on the believer. It will persecute the believer. You see, the serpent beguiled Eve. Satan is ever at it. Be awake, my brother and sister. Expect it. Be ready. When Sanballat and Tobiah heard, they started to move. Be ready. When things are opening for you, the door of opportunity or whatever, it won't be long before we have to say, then came Amalek, then came Sanballat and Tobiah, then came the many adversaries. For the truth is, Satan will do all he can to destroy the gospel. But Christ, he that is for us, is greater than he that is against us. Blessed be God. Amen.